Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bubble Boy and CJ, who are in the studio with me today. And then via the web, we have Pete from Scuba Board, Vinny Two Tanks, who's going to join us on the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in October. As well, we are joined now by the Scuba Cowboy, who's going to be on that trip as well. Pup, how are you, buddy? Welcome, man.
I'm absolutely fantastic.
Good, good, good. All right, well, stand by, because we're going to catch up and find out what you've been up to. But if that weren't enough, Pete, or not Pete, I should say, because that's Pete from Scuba Board. Peter from Aquanauts Grenada is on via Skype with us right now, live from the Spice Island. How are you, Peter? Welcome, buddy. Long time.
Hey, welcome, listeners. Hey, Greg, great to hear from you. Everything is wonderful in Grenada.
Yes, I'm sure it is. It always is, even with all the weather. I mean, did you get any of that stuff with, Tropical Storm Erica or whatever else has been turning
on? We didn't get anything. Unfortunately, our friends up in Dominica got quite beaten up, but from what I hear, they're all up and running again and things are getting better. So that's okay. We haven't gotten anything this season. It's just beautiful. Sun's shining, no wind, and let's knock on wood.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it that way.
Very nice. Matter of fact, that reminds me, last week I was talking about the Dominica Airport, how they were socked in there because of the storm, and sure enough, I think they reopened on Thursday. So they are flying back in and forth in Dominica. So there's a little update for you on that. Just as I predicted, they bounce back very quickly in the islands. But let's talk about Grenada, Peter. What has been going on? Are you still doing the rebreather stuff like every day or every other day or something down there? Or are you doing open circuit? Or what are you doing these days down there in Grenada?
Yeah, basically, we do it all. We have it all. You know, we have our, latest creation that we have is like a Tech Rec Jamboree Weeks, where people can come down for a week and they can try the whole range of tech diving, try side mount, try different rebreathers. You know, we added the Hollis Explorer rebreather to our portfolio, to the Evolution, so the full technical, etc., training for solo diving, deep diving, whatever you want to do. You want to go further with your diving experiences, you can come here and try it out.
Very nice. Yeah, that's one of the unique things about Aquanauts Grenada is you can go down there and not only learn the systems, but if you're already certified, they have the equipment there. You can just put it together and kind of rent from them, so to speak, without having to lug all that gear in the plane and that kind of stuff. So you got the new Explorer from Hollis. Is that people gravitating towards that pretty heavily right now, or what's been the response so far? What do you think?
No, response so far has been good. We have quite some people coming and trying it out. Especially it's a lot easier, not complicated than a technical rebreather.
Yeah.
But it still gives you all the benefits, having nice warm air to breathe and having no bubbles, coming closer to marine life, so that kind of thing, and it's just great.
Yeah, it's pretty much idiot-proof, isn't it? I mean, even I could dive this thing.
I'll be the judge of that.
Well, okay, we got Bubble Boy to back me up.
I'm so glad you said it, but you don't want to forget that you also master the other rebreather because you are the master.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's right. I'm a jack-of-all-dive-trades, so I have to make sure I learn all the systems. Whether I learn them well is debatable, but the Hollis rebreather is one of these new systems that's designed to kind of open it up to more recreational divers, and the equipment set up or the computer set up basically like green you dive, red you better not, or something like that. It's pretty basic, isn't it, or what?
Yeah, it keeps it very simple. So basically that cuts down time for training, you know, your commitment. But as long as you want to stay in the more or less recreational limits, it's a great toy to get you where you want to go, especially like for underwater photographers. It's a great unit to have where you can really just simply take better pictures.
Yes, no bubbles, no troubles, especially for underwater photographers.
That's what we say.
Yeah, and I know you like to do a lot of underwater video and pictures yourself, but I know one of the things you like to do is slay those lionfish and keep them at bay on some of the hot spots of some of the reefs. Is the rebreather system really good for that situation too? Because, I mean, the lionfish down there, Peter, aren't necessarily afraid of even the bubbles. They just seem to be, I don't know, invincible in that regard, or seem to think they're invincible until the divers go down there and try to take them out and knock them off the reef. Yeah. But on the rebreather, it does allow you to have more bottom time. You could set it up to go deeper, where a lot of times, open circuit scuba, you're going to have your depth limits, and once the lionfish are past a certain depth, they're out of the reach of the recreational divers, but you can go down there on your rebreather and really knock them back good. Am I right, or are you doing that?
That is exactly what's happening. And also, not to forget, lionfish are also kind of very smart learners, so they learn very quick. If you have amateur divers that basically just try to shoot them, miss them, then the lionfish know about divers, so they go hiding instantly. So with the rebreather, you get a second shot at those. And then the other thing, as you mentioned already, since we're going deeper, we can stay longer. The range where we can hunt them is actually much bigger. And what we're finding now, especially like on the reefs where most people are diving and hunting, you will barely see any lionfish.
Yeah.
But so soon you extend the range, you go down like 150, 160 feet to the deeper reef. Suddenly, this is where they are in big groups, you know. And I designed a mega keeper because, like, the standard zookeeper became too small when I'm going on those expeditions.
You got a mega keeper, mega zookeeper.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, it looks like a torpedo. So it's a big piece, but I kept, like, when I go in the deep dive, I kept running out of space, you know. So, like, you're down there for 20, 30 minutes, and your zookeeper is full. Then what? So I designed a bigger one.
Well, no, wait a minute. A zookeeper itself can hold probably 30, 40 lionfish if you stuff them in there good. Am I right? Those things are pretty big.
Yeah. I mean, you know that size matters. And when they're big, and at depth, we're getting the bigger ones. You probably get like 15, 20 in a zookeeper.
Big
ones, like if I had like 14, 16 inches.
Wow, okay.
And that's it. So it takes you 20 minutes to do that, and then what? So
yeah.
In my big one, I get like, you know, I can like get 40 to 45 of that size in
wow.
One unit.
So is your mega zookeeper for lionfish, and this is a, you know, these things are usually made out of a big PVC pipe. Is it larger in diameter?
It's basically larger diameter, bigger funnel also, so you get a real big fish in there and longer. So
all right.
So you
longer and more, more girth. Yeah.
And then we use basically the scooters to go to those places, because then you're really dragging a lot of equipment with you. But, you know, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the mission elements that you could use for a rebreather for sure. And that's one of the reasons they don't allow you to spearfish on rebreathers, for instance, in Florida or in the States, because it's an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
You know, but
sure.
Yeah, but the lionfish.
When it comes to other fish, that's for sure. I mean, the fish doesn't have a chance.
Yeah,
at all.
But we got to get we got to keep these lionfish at bay for sure. And it seems to be working. I will, you know, you kind of mentioned it, that those sites where a lot of divers visit, the lionfish seem to be you know, seem to be kept at bay to a certain extent because the divers are going
here in Grenada, we really have it under control. I mean, you will, like, see on those dives, you barely see any, or you see two or three, and then you know where they are, and we always go and get them. It's really the deeper places that we do, you know, clean out on a rotation, basically, that we go, and, you know, and then so every 3-4 weeks you need to revisit the place and clean it out again.
Well, there you go.
I mean, they go very deep also, basically, they're even out of reach for rebreathers.
Wow.
It's not feasible to do it anymore.
Well, that's why we have super divers like Peter at Aquanauts Grenada. Doing that, or if you want to pursue that effort to become a rebreather diver, maybe you need to take a little visit to Grenada and do what I did and get certified, and you can have some fun doing that as well. We didn't even mention the fact that it's a blast, and trust me, it is. It's a lot of fun all the way around. All right, AquanautsGrenada.com. Go visit them. Say hi to Pete and Glenda for me, and we got more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Fish, heads, fish, heads. Roly poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads. Eat them up, yum.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bubble Boy and CJ in the studio. And then via the web, we have Pete from Scuba Board, Vinny Two Tanks, and now the Scuba Cowboy is with us as well. We haven't talked to him in a couple weeks. He's been traveling so much. Pup, where have you been, buddy? Are you just gigging all over or what? Talk to us.
I am actually gigging all over the place these days, but most of the time I've been down in Florida, as you know, for Bug Fest and what have you, and then spent a couple weeks down in Roatan. Spent some time up in Michigan, did some river diving, all kinds of cool stuff up there. And
now, wait a minute. What did you do river diving wise? You weren't doing the Copper River with the shark teeth thing, were you? Or no?
No. I did up in Michigan. I did the St. Clair River.
St. Clair River.
Right out of Lake Huron there.
So what do they have there? What did you see? Anything interesting or no?
Actually, yeah, you see a lot of game fish, you know, muskie and walleye and bass and that kind of stuff. But the cool thing is just the way that they do it, because you basically kind of ride the current down. So it's almost like you're wall climbing, you know, yeah. How you would like scale a wall, except that you're kind of picking your next spot where you're going to stop and grab onto the bottom because, you know, it's pushing you so fast through the water that you got to kind of plan your next grab site. So it's kind of interesting, though.
Well,
and actually,
like
they do a lot
ride.
Of salvaging. Yeah, it's a really fun ride. And the guy that I went with, he actually collects everything underneath there. I mean, I found the day I was there, I found a whole fishing pole. It hadn't even been used yet. Brand new fishing pole. But he collects all kinds of stuff like that, and he turns it into art, believe it or not, which is really cool. So
he took your fishing pole that you thought you could actually use to catch fish and turn it into a piece of art to hang on the wall?
Well, I don't know what he's going to turn that into, but he literally collects like all the weights and everything, all the lost sinkers and stuff that the fishermen have and what have you. I mean, he probably just kept that fishing pole. I was so tight on my weight I couldn't bring it back with me, so I'm sure if I go back there I could grab it.
Got it.
A brand new pole.
Yeah,
it's a little heavy duty for this state.
Well, you know, the river stuff, that was another question or I don't know, it got brought up by a friend of mine the other day, and he was asking me about these shark teeth. You know, and what had happened, he had seen that video on YouTube of the Australian news service or newscast where they the giant great white had jumped up out of the water. Did you see that? I mean, it was crazy. And then they show the news anchor, and he's like, their eyes are as big as saucers.
Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, no.
Exactly. Yeah, and Pooh was in there making comments and everything else, but they looked like they... Hey, now... They look like they were about then. There's no. It's like I think I'm gonna stay out of the water. But it was like it was breaching. A giant great white was breaching, and he'd seen that video. He goes, "You still dive?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's Australia. I hardly ever go there." And you know that wouldn't happen. Every time I dive, all I do right before I jump in, I say, "Don't look like a seal. Don't look like a seal." And it's worked this, you know, so far. So that's one way to go about the situation when it comes to sharks. But we love sharks as divers. We love seeing them, whether it's on the surface, underwater, or whatever. And you know, these megalodon shark teeth. You know, that's how it dovetailed from the video into how cool it is to see sharks or to, you know, dive. And Pete from Scuba Board, I know, what is it, the Copperhead River? What is it up there in Carolina? Maybe it was Cooper River. Is
it's
that where it is?
Cooper River.
Yeah. So that's where those giant megalodon shark teeth were.
Not just there, though. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually, Greg, there's actually a spot out in the ocean because my friends from Michigan just went out there. There's a spot like a ridge, they call Fossil Ridge or something, out in the ocean, out in off of South Carolina somewhere, too, where they find them out in the ocean, in the Atlantic.
And there's hundreds of them out there. And, of course, there's Venice Beach, Florida.
Right.
Which where you can where find we dove. Them as well.
Yeah,
we have dove, and I've seen you actually pick up a megalodon tooth.
I did. I still have it right here in the studio. That was a cool dive, but it wasn't one of those giant monster ones that are like 4 or 5 inches across. And that's what this guy was finding in the Cooper River or Copper River.
Well, I found the 6.5-incher out at Venice Beach.
You did? Wow. Okay.
I did. Well, I found mammoth teeth out there as well. And camel teeth. And I saw a guy who picked up a saber-tooth tiger tooth out of there.
Okay, saber-tooth tiger teeth, that's something. But you say, hey, I found a camel tooth. Is that what you're going to say? Seriously? I don't think the chicks are going to dig that one as much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the response, yeah.
One hump or two.
Uh-huh. Hump day, yeah, yeah. Anyway, so, you know, I don't know, but yeah, Cooper River, that's one of the hot spots for finding the really big ones, though, isn't it?
Braille diving, wrong? Though. Braille diving.
Well, exactly. That's what he said. He's one of the only idiots that are willing to go out there and not be able to see anything. And you're basically down there underwater just feeling around, thinking like, okay, this is a shark tooth, but you don't know till you get the surface. Is the visibility that low? Or do you know?
No, you could probably feel it, but it's whether it's a shark's tooth or an alligator's tail.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why you don't know what you got until you take it to the surface. Well, if it's an alligator tail, you might find out.
Or it takes you to the surface.
Right. You might find out a bit sooner. But you can't see anything in the river there, or do you know?
I, I think you can see a couple inches, depending on the, how the river's running. But they find all sorts of stuff. They find World War II and Revolutionary War, and
Civil War relics in there, and things like that.
All sorts of stuff like that in there. So you don't know what you're going to find. I found the bottle in the Peace River when we were looking for fossils that dated, I think it was 1893.
A bottle, huh? Really?
A bottle, a little apothecary bottle. I mean, you know, here we're looking for fossils, and I come up with an apothecary bottle.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that is cool. You know, when I see all the bottles and stuff like that, when somebody has to be explained to you how old it is, it doesn't have as much swag. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, the only bottles you're interested in are filled with rum.
Hello?
And say Mount Gay on them.
Yes. Well,
Hell yeah! Exactly.
I'm not alone there. But I don't know. The shark tooth thing, there's an element to that. It's almost right up there with treasure hunting. You know what I'm saying? Like finding a gold bloom. And gold bloom or silver medallion or something cool from some Spanish fleet. But I don't know. I digress.
Like a camel tooth.
And of course, with your TV experience now, Greg, you're such a shark expert, you know.
Well, the Sharknado thing, yeah.
Where did you get that crap?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I got it on Sci-Fi.
I wonder if this is a fossil record of an ancient Sharknado.
What, finding one of these shark teeth? You never know. Who knows if those teeth weren't flying through the atmosphere one time or another? It could happen. Couldn't it?
Okay. If everyone's finished being stupid.
No, we got at least another, 40 minutes to go. So we'll continue this stream of consciousness next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with CJ Bubble Boy in the studio. And then there's the Scuba Cowboy, Pete from Scuba Board, Vinny Two Tanks on via the web. We got a full crew for you as we're just sitting around the tiki bar chatting about diving. So Pup just got back from Michigan. That's the most recent adventure for you, Pup. But you actually were diving in Roatan before that. Is that right? Yeah? I believe that's correct, isn't it? I think I got it right. Yeah?
Just the other way around.
Oh, you did Roatan and you did the river dive and then you went to Roatan.
Right. Well, okay. Then I went to the Keys and then the Roatan, then back to the Keys and...
Okay.
And then back to Colorado.
He's done it all. But I don't know if we ever had a chance to really check in with how Roatan went, did we? Or no?
No, because I've been having computer issues since then.
His computer was acting up on him a little bit.
Yep.
There. So, but we've got it squared away now. So what can you tell us? Was it great as always in Roatan or what?
It was absolutely fantastic. I actually bounced around to a couple of different resorts, so that was kind of cool. I kind of farm myself out on different nights while I'm down there, which was a lot of fun because, of course, I get to meet even more divers.
Yeah,
that's the great part. I slayed literally hundreds of lionfish.
Yeah.
Although, again, like Peter said, when you're on areas that are frequented, they're not as thick. But if you get to the areas where, there's not divers as frequently, then they're just thick. I had a personal best of 17 on one dive.
17. So that cool. That's not bad. Now, we did 28 in Dominica, but that was split.
Yeah, but
between
that was all
two.
Of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how many we would take credit for in that one. But I don't know. Did you see them all over the place, or were they fairly, you'd have to swim a ways to find one lionfish to the next? I guess 17 on one dive, they were all over, I'm guessing. Am I right?
Yeah. I've kind of learned, especially down in Roatan, the best way is to kind of hang out on the edge of the wall and watch the little fingers that go out of ways.
Ah, and then just scope them out and wait for them, kind of like a lionfish waiting for his innocent little, you know, wrasse to swim by so he can snag it. So you have to think like the, be the lionfish to catch the lionfish.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
So the Scuba Cowboy is online with us via the web, and you know, it's been a few weeks since we've had him on, and since that time he was in Roatan. We mentioned this on the air, and I bring up the lionfish thing again, Pup, because that's what we hadn't discussed. We, you know, I talked about on the air how you, I had seen on your Facebook page that you had not only got your record of lionfish, but the lionfish scored one on you as well. Am I right?
Well, you know, I put that out for public vote. I think it's still up in the air, but essentially what happened is we had one of those tubes, and when I brought
one of those zookeepers that Peter was talking about earlier, yeah,
exactly. Except that it was a homemade one down there, and what they had done is the metal band, when they put it around the top, they didn't tighten enough, and they don't have a vent. You know, normally they have a bleeder hole on the backside of it, and this one didn't. So every time you'd come up the ladder in rough water, you'd have to kind of tilt it up to let the water drain out. Otherwise, you know, you're carrying up this 30 pounds of water along with 20 pounds of lionfish.
Okay.
So basically, I was just kind of tipping it up to let it drain out, and the ring popped off and let the whole, you know,
Lord Jesus, bucket. Oh, Lord, no.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it just so happened that it all landed right on my leg, you know, right on my knee. And so instantly I was like, oh, wait a minute, is that, oh, no. And so I pulled up my, you know, wetsuit, and it had gotten me literally right on the kneecap, but I don't know if it was a fin that had, you know, toxin in it or not, because they don't all, but it felt like it, but it was in such an area where there's really not much on your kneecap other than skin, so there's not a lot of blood vessels to carry it elsewhere, so it got kind of a little prickly right there, but it never got real bad, and I went and scorched it instantly in hot water, and, you know, did all the things you're supposed to do, and so it never got real bad or anything, so I don't know if it's an official score for them. If it is, then that's their first one in, I don't know, 5-6 years of me hunting lionfish pretty hard. I've killed thousands by now, so.
Yeah, well, you got off pretty easy, if indeed that was, sounds like, because usually they and Pete, maybe you can back me up on this. Have you actually seen somebody's gotten stung by the lionfish and got one?
Oh, yeah,
got,
it looks,
I mean,
bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty excruciating. Yeah, I mean,
for you, just look in a mirror and you'll see how bad it looks.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering, though, is I haven't really seen somebody personally affected by the lionfish, but I've seen stingrays, and stingrays are excruciating. I've seen big, strong guys literally break down like they were little teen, you know, 8-year-old girls screaming for their mom. I mean, they're excruciating. I don't know if lionfish are quite that bad, but I don't know. Well, I mean, what do you know about that?
I've gotten hit by battery fish here in Florida, and that was pretty horrible. None of it's good.
A battery fish? I don't even know what that is. What is a battery fish? What do you mean?
A copper top.
Yeah, it's, right. It's, just, no, keeps on going, and
it's a real fish, and it's a ray, and it's, you know, it's an electric ray.
It's an electric ray. Okay.
We call them battery fish, but I stepped on it in a little tidal pool.
Yeah.
And he got the tops of both of my feet. I mean,
with barb like a stingray, or with electricity?
No, electricity. It shocked me. Both sides, both tops of my feet. It looked like I had, you know, third-degree sunburn on the tops of both of my feet, blistered, everything. And it was so instantaneous. I didn't cry, but I couldn't put shoes on for you know, almost a week.
Huh. And that was down there in the Florida Keys somewhere.
No, that was actually, I want to say, it's going to come out here, Ponce Inlet Beach.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm not even familiar with a battery fish. I don't know about that. I mean, I know about electric, you know, eels, and, you know, I've seen Naked and Afraid. The latest one where they did 40 days in the wild, they got whacked by some electric eels a couple times that they were trying to catch and eat. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I need to do that.
Let's get naked.
And so, anyway, you know, that's one thing, I guess. Battery fish is one thing. But what about, you know, comparing the pain threshold of a lionfish? I'm just not sure how bad it is. I mean, our buddy Simon Darren Dominica has claimed to be, what, stung how many times, pup, you think? I think it's like 20 or something, him and...
Yeah, it's over 20.
Yeah, him and Izzy have a competition who's been stung by lionfish most.
Saw someone. I saw the aftermath. I didn't see when he got stung.
Yeah.
But he got a stung. Bill from OMS got stung on one of the Roatan trips last year, I think, or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
On his thumb. And literally, it was like on the knuckle of his thumb, and it had swollen up to the size of a golf ball. I'm not exaggerating. Ooh. I mean, it was literally... Like, it blistered up that big.
I've seen similar.
Yeah. It's pretty nasty. And he said it was excruciating.
Yeah. Well, I could understand if it swelled up like that, for sure. But, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know what to compare it to. I mean, like, it would be like a really bad bee sting or what. Because, like, the stingray was same thing. It didn't really happen immediately. You know, he got stung in his the palm of his hand. This dive instructor that was teaching me at the time on a night dive, and he thought, oh, that's a cute little stingray, and he came up behind it, and it's like, I'll just give it a quick little pet. And basically, he was illustrating what not to do for me. And
he pulled the Steve Irwin, huh?
Yeah, but he just got him in the palm of his hand, and at the time, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, he's squeezing at it, like, oh, it kind of hurts a little bit, but no big deal. But about an hour later, right after we knock out the lights... at our abode down there in the Florida Keys, all of a sudden I start hearing this banging on the wall and this guy screaming at the top of his lungs, "Call Divers Alert Network, I'm dying!" And so we had to get an EMT on the line, the whole thing, and he was in serious pain. And they told him to put it under the hottest water he could stand to take those stinging cells of the stingray, you know, to neutralize them. That was really the only thing you could do. The whole thing about peeing on your buddy, that doesn't really work. Even though I would highly encourage it for
only
just fun.
Only if you want
to laugh. Yeah. You know, it's one of those experiences you kind of have to do just for, you know, just for your own amusement, for sure.
It makes great YouTube video, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Stingray is a cocktail of stuff. It's not just a single... thing. It's got an inflammatory in there. It's got an actual poison. It's got
bacteria.
All this stuff in there. And
what's a lionfish? Isn't a lionfish the same thing? That's what I'm wondering.
No. Lionfish is an actual venom.
It's a venom. So you need an anti-venom to neutralize it?
Or you need to cook it like an egg. It's a protein. And it's just like you put the egg on the hot and it turns white. Well, when you get it really hot, that's why you put very hot stuff. It actually immobilizes. It changes the protein and makes it into a solid, and your body can handle it better.
Right. Yes. Okay. All right. I see where you're going.
Yeah, you cook yourself. If you get stung by a lionfish, that's the deal. Cook yourself.
Greg, over easy.
Yeah. Okay. That doesn't sound very, I don't know. It sounds like something you definitely want to avoid. Yeah, that'd be the least of your worries. Is becoming a little nauseous, I think. But, I mean, the thing is, you just got to be very careful if you're going after the lionfish, because when you're spearing them, it is a heck of a lot of fun, but you got to make sure you keep your hands at bay with those spines. And I'll go back to the scuba cowboy in Roatan. You were just stuffing them in your zookeeper, in your PVC pipe down there, and then cleaning them once you get to the surface. You weren't trying to cut them off underwater there, pup, or what?
Oh, yeah, no. When you're getting them that fast, the zookeeper's the way to go because you don't have to mess with the time because yeah. you almost always find them in a group. Not always, but if they're thick in an area, you'll almost always find three or four together.
Right.
And so you literally just stab and stuff. You know, you stab them, you stuff them in the thing, mm-hmm. and you're on to the next one. And that's how you get them all because they just, like you said, if they haven't been shot at, they're like a, you know, they're dumber than a box of rocks. They just kind of hang,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah,
while you're killing their buddies, they don't even notice.
And you do need one of these zookeepers, one of these giant PVC tubes. I've seen people that catch them and put them in their lobster bag, and then you know they take them up to the surface, and which is pretty remarkable that they don't get stung on the way up to the surface. But then they pour them out on the dive deck, and they're like there's fins and barbs and things hanging out all over the place, and people get that's when they get stung as well. They can sting you just as easily when they're dead. In your catch bag as they can when they're alive swimming around underwater. So you got to be very, very careful in that regard. So, all right, words to live by, a few little tips when it comes to lionfish. And I guess I'm glad, and I'm sure you are too, Pup, that you didn't have any souvenirs from that little encounter in Roatan. Am I right?
I'm exceptionally happy, and I had fresh ceviche every single night.
Ah, yes. Let's not forget that the lionfish are one of the tastiest fish you could eat, especially if you don't like fish. They're very mild. They're very grouper, snapper-like fish, and it's one of the fish we can eat.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, very good. More coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Did you know fewer than 2% of divers ever achieve the PADI Master Scuba Diver Rating? Earning your Master Scuba Diver Rating places you in an elite group. People will know you've spent time underwater in a variety of environments with significant experience and training. Rescue diver certification with 5 specialties and a minimum of 50 log dives are all you need. And for a limited time, get a free e-card when you earn your PADI Master Scuba Diver Rating. So join the elite. Contact your local PADI Dive Center resort or instructor to plan your journey towards Master Scuba Diver today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I'm not actually the diver. I'm the pump man. I have a friend who does the diving.
Is your friend experienced?
Oh, he's been underwater half his life. He used to be a lifeguard in a car wash.
So dive, dive, dive. We twisted up inside. Don't come up to fill your cup or you make it to the other side. Dive, dive, dive. Let your conscience be your guide. Life's a mess and there's too much stress. You gotta take it all in stride. just dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. That is the Scuba Cowboy. He is on via the web with us in his home base of Colorado. And, Pup, where are you off to next?
Actually, I'm heading back down to the Keys for Reef Fest in about a week and a half.
That's right. Yeah, that's to benefit Reef, reef.org. Really fine organization. Does a lot of fish counts. And actually, they're doing a lot of lionfish derby type things.
That's what that is that particular time, is some kind of lionfish removal event. And then a week after that, I'm with you in Turks and Caicos, baby.
That's right. I heard that. Yeah.
Shut up!
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Bubble Boy and CJ,
a little jealous.
Even Pete from Scuba Board are not happy campers right now. But hey, we're me, Vinny, and the Scuba Cowboy. You know, half the crew here today is scheduled to be in the Turks and Caicos here in a few weeks. So basically, to the rest of you guys, glad we're not you.
Shut up. Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it because the weather has been great. I mean, it's such a great time to dive in the Turks and Caicos. Really, just this particular month of September. I've said this so many times before, but it really is the best time to dive in Florida and the Caribbean, because when there is not a storm around, the winds are down, which mean lower seas and better visibility. Is that what you've been encountering down there in the Keys there too, Pete, you think, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, and it's cooling off in the water. And we had temperatures of 88, 90. In fact, I had one bay part that was 97 degrees. And it's just not pleasant getting in the water when it's hot out there, when it's hot in the water.
Wait, you had a place in the water that was 98 degrees? No.
97 degrees.
You were a little
Cannon Beach.
No, you were a little too close to your dive buddy, my friend.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It doesn't get that warm in the water.
I'm telling you, it got that. It was 97 degrees.
Your dive
could be hell's the matter with you.
Yeah, we have no way of knowing, but that's not possible, Pete. If it was the water temp 98
it is
degrees,
possible.
No,
97 degrees
in the ocean.
Stop increasing it by a degree. In the ocean off Cannon Beach.
Cannon Beach.
And it was hotter at depth, where all that vegetation was like it was percolating. It was starting to rot and all that. And the sulfur was so horrible in the eyes, it couldn't deal with it. We called the dive.
Wait.
I haven't been to Cannon Beach since. I've been going elsewhere because it was just too hot.
Okay, wait. The sulfur, you mean from the sulfur springs? There's a boil of a spring down there off the beach?
No, when stuff rots, it lets off sulfur. So like an egg smell, a rotten egg smell?
I revert back to your dive buddy.
Okay. Yeah, no, I wish.
You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're a ridiculous person.
Well, I'm just saying. It just doesn't add up. That seems way too... It seems like a perfect example of global warming. And
you know, there you go.
And you think, but that I don't know, that just seems too warm. I mean, like
it was too warm. It was horrible when we got out of the water.
I don't think I've ever encountered ocean water warmer than 90 degrees ever.
Well, actually, when I went to Jules, which is a little bit away, but they have bubblers that keep everything moving, circulating.
Yeah.
It was like 94 degrees.
The water temp was 94 degrees.
This is documented.
With your dive computer.
This crap.
Well, it just seems
not
insane.
Not just my dive computer, but with actual, you know, thermometers designed, because, you know, dive computers, that's probably the least accurate part of a dive computer, is how hot it or cold it is.
When you talk to non-divers and you explain to them about ocean temperature, a lot of people think, well, like anything lower than 98 degrees, your body temp would be cold, wouldn't it? And that's not the case at all. It's really about...
Not at all.
75, 78 degrees. 78, 79 degrees is perfect water temp for me. That's a little refreshing, but not too cold where you have to really worry about a wetsuit. But, you know, different strokes for different folks. You know,
was 84 on the reef today.
Well, 84 is nice. That's bathtub diving for sure. That's nice and warm. You don't have to wear a wetsuit. It's not, you know, depending on how hot the air is, that might be a little on the warm side, actually. So it kind of depends on, you know, the air temp as well. But really, 80 degrees.
It's perfect right now. I think this is perfect. And we don't have that many jellies. It's been lovely.
Well, exactly. That's the other caveat to, you know, earlier in the summer, the jellyfish have a tendency to swarm. So you get through that through the month of September, and I don't know, these 98-degree water temps don't sound right to me. I still, that seems a little crazy. Pup, have you ever heard of that? You've never heard of anything over 90, have you?
I've not heard it. I was actually just trying to Google it and see if there's any kind of record, but I couldn't find
it. Oh, there, yeah. Bubble Boy just did, and it says, it says, Pete from Scuba Board is full of crap.
That's
right. Right there.
I was looking for the warmest ocean temperature recorded.
It says, see your dive buddy.
Okay.
You've got a sick mind.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be that.
It says, don't share the same tube with your dive buddy. That's what it says.
That's a urine cline, okay?
Oh, we blew it all to hell. All right, so, I don't know. We'll have to agree to disagree, and you can Google and do your own research and that kind of thing. But that'll do it for this week. We got a lot of stuff for you next week. Make sure you join us. Go to scubaradio.com. Feel free to share your comments with us to info@scubaradio.com. Or actually, if you want to be on the air, go to scubaradio.com and click on the tab that says Get on the Air. And you can record your own little question, comment, or complaint. And we'll play it right back here for you next time. Till next week, remember, it's always better. Where, gang?
Down where it's wetter.
Same time, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They're not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.